This is the Venturing Angler Podcast. I'm Tim Harden. In this episode, we'll be talking with Kimberly Frankie of Kana Travel about Kana Travel's services to fly anglers and hunters, and also changes in the world of travel since COVID, and now that travel is becoming less restrictive and opening up, how that might be impacting fly anglers. Let's chat with Kimberly. All right, we're here with Kimberly Frankie of Kana Travel. Kimberly, welcome to the Venturing Angler Podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Tim. I'm really excited to chat with you today.
Likewise. So we've known each other for a number of years. I love Kana Travel. I've used Kana Travel, and it's been a lifesaver. I'll probably get into that at some point. But for those who are unfamiliar, can you explain Kana Travel to the audience?
Yeah, so we're a full-service travel agency. We're located in Bozeman, Montana, but we work with clients all over the country and the world. And we specialize in fly fishing and hunting travel logistics. We're not a booking company or a booking agency in the sense that we book fly fishing packages or hunting trips, but that we kind of complement the services of a booking company or a lodge or guide services that you're working with. And we help to kind of put the little pieces together. So we specialize in trip insurance, emergency evacuation, and flight bookings. We can do custom itinerary planning, and we certainly get to do that for a couple of different destinations, but for the most part, that's kind of our bread and butter.
And so you mentioned it's for mostly hunting and fly fishing. What drew you to those industries?
You know, I grew up in Australia, so not a lot of fly fishing or hunting where I came from. But I've been in Montana now for nearly 18 years, and there's a huge, I would say, a big focus here on those sorts of sports and travel around those sorts of sports. And I noticed after being in the travel industry for quite a few years that there really wasn't anybody servicing the needs of that type of traveler. And so I just kind of thought, you know what, I have some great travel logistics knowledge that I could apply towards this type of industry and for this type of traveler, and get to know some really fun people along the way.
So I think I was introduced to you via Brian Gregson, and it was, if I'm not mistaken, prior to my first trip to Argentina. And I didn't know until I went how much I did not know. For example, that there's a domestic airport and an international airport. And of course, you fly into the international, but then you have to go to the domestic to fly to Patagonia from Buenos Aires, and that could be an hour drive. And so these are the kinds of things where I could have easily set myself up for a catastrophic trip, and you were able to really address a lot of issues that had not even crossed my mind and made a very difficult trip, because it's so far away and it involves usually several, I was coming from San Francisco, so several domestic flights and then the international flights, it's hard. And so I was able to be impressed at that time with your expertise. And since then, I always go through Kana Travel.
Yeah, we get the opportunity. And I always say this to clients, like, this might be your first trip to Argentina, or your first trip to the Seychelles or to Christmas Island. But we get to talk to people day in and day out. And so for us, this isn't the first trip to the Seychelles or to Argentina. This is, you know, we've been doing this for years now. So we get to understand the day-to-day changes that are occurring. Just even could be within the airport itself. But now with COVID, it's a little bit different because we're seeing changes with regards to entry requirements and that type of thing. But in addition to that, we know people that are in those areas. And so we talk to them regularly about things that could come up. For example, you know, sometimes in Argentina, there could be a strike that could occur that would have nothing to do with, you know, with anything to do with the travel industry, but it could shut down the streets for a little bit. And so if that happens, how can you get across town to get to that airport, making sure you have enough time in the event that something like that does occur? Those are really fun things that we get to inform our travelers about, whether they've been to a location for the first time or they've traveled there multiple times. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
One of the ways that you've also made me a someone who's going to always go to Kana Travel for everything is the experience I had as a producer of Das Boot for Off the Grid Studios, the Meat Eater show Das Boot. We the first season, you were a lifesaver with helping put a lot of things together at the last minute. But even after that, like the second season was filmed during COVID, and
Yeah, that's right.
yeah, and it was there was a lot of unknown, and for
Yeah.
example, things were having to be changed while I was in flight. And another thing that's been great is how you've been a lifesaver with handling variables when they happen.
What was interesting about that trip is that we actually got to work with the talent and do travel logistics for those guys. And they were even running into issues at that point as it related to COVID with where can we get rental cars from? The rental car companies were shut down because of odd hours, because of COVID-related closures. So, the logistics behind that, you'd think, especially if you're traveling to, Michigan in the US, it'd be easy to fly in, get yourself a flight from Bozeman, Montana over to, somewhere in Michigan, pick up a rental car and go. And we were finding that wasn't to be the case. So for us, it's a lot of putting the puzzle pieces together and connecting our travelers with the destinations themselves, but kind of connecting the pieces between what their guide, their lodge, or whomever they're working with to get to that trip and to have that experience. So it's a fun way for us to be able to connect people to places, but also experience with them the fun things that can come up. We try not to take things too seriously, and we try to just as we go along, which we've done in the past with multiple trips, but just try to brainstorm as we go along, which has been the case for the last couple of years now with COVID.
Yeah, you're really helpful with our need to be creative. And I can't remember exactly what happened, but I think I was about to take a flight from San Francisco to Austin to ultimately stay in Houston, and it was delayed or something had happened, and you were able to change everything. 'Cause oftentimes when you're taking a trip, you've got the rental car and the hotel and everything in place, and if one thing changes, then all those things are out of whack. And I can't remember exactly what happened, but
Yeah.
with one of the more especially challenging episodes, I think it was Giannis Poutelis was traveling from Michigan to Bozeman, and
Yeah,
just
that's right.
things were not going right. And ultimately, you were able to help him get a rental car and drive the final stretch from Denver to Bozeman,
Yeah,
which was.
thankfully he was like a local, so we knew the area well. His family's from there, so we got to understand and knew the roads and whatnot. But it's pretty interesting because a lot of people have the assumption that travel should be, A, B, and C, and you cross it off your list as you go. And one of the exciting things about travel is that there can be interruptions and changes. And we just had a family recently this summer, actually. They're in Alaska. They're taking back a small charter flight from a lodge back to this really small town to catch kind of a regional flight back to Anchorage. And for some reason, they didn't get the memo, and the airline didn't get the memo. But there was no one at the actual airport when they showed up, and so they had to totally go and brain, kind of figure out what to do. They had grandparents, they had young kids, and this kid from down the street who was guiding just kind of came and was like, "Hey, I can't really put you up anywhere, but I can give you these frozen pizzas and kind of help figure out what to do with you." And after the fact, she called me and she said, "This is one of the most amazing things about traveling is that we get to show our children and have the ability ourselves to kind of think on the fly, but also be put in a position where we might not always get to be in every day." And I think that's one of the exciting things about the job that I get to do is is that we deal with people in some, you know, challenging situations, but also in we get to really see them and give them tools to really to kind of reach their best selves, which is always really fun.
Yeah, and for especially for hunters and anglers, that trip might be like that bucket list trip that has so much associated and attached to it. You know, if anything goes wrong, it or if anything was poorly planned, it could have such an impact. And so it's what you guys offer is phenomenal.
It is exciting. I mean, we do work with repeat clients, and we love the opportunities to do that to different destinations or the same places. But it's always fun to work with these first time people who have this bucket list location or experience that they're going for. They either get to share it with friends or they're sharing it with family members, and just to hear the anticipation that they have in their voice and being able to, again, like provide for them that experience is super exciting and very rewarding. Even though it's been challenging over the last couple of years because COVID has thrown kind of a wrench or a spanner. We say in America, a wrench in the works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we say spanner in the works in Australia, but, you know, it's kind of thrown in its own twist to things, which has been really interesting and super rewarding in another way, because it's really shown how the work that we do is really important. It's not just about, you know, it is to a certain extent just travel, but then it's also helping people to get to these incredible experiences.
What are some of the more exciting places that you've helped people get to?
Yeah, I mean, we love getting people to the Seychelles and parts of Africa. It's super fun. There's a lot of people who perhaps have safaried in Africa or had those experiences that are either returning to fish or to have a family experience. It's also, we get to see people who have never been there before, but suddenly feel like they're ready to, you know, target a certain species or experience kind of a different level of saltwater fishing. And so planning those trips are really fun. We work with some great operators, Emirates Airlines, Qatar Airlines, to name a few. They have great routing. We really enjoy clients being able to stay over and connect in Dubai or in Doha and have additional experiences. So those are really fun trips for us to plan, and very rewarding. We always love, you know, sending people off to Christmas Island. That's always kind of a funny and fun destination because it's a lot of people like, whoa, this is like nothing I've ever experienced before. It's, you know, flats fishing, but at the same time, getting there isn't like getting to Belize or the Bahamas. And so it's unique in its own way. And certainly always love to get people over to Iceland, Australia and New Zealand. Of course, Australia is my home, so I always love to introduce people to Australia.
Australia is a long way from Bozeman, Montana. What was your path to this area of the world and then this career? I mean, you'd mentioned the career in some aspect, but you know, getting interested more in hunting and fishing.
Yeah, I grew up, I'm a farmer's kid from Western Australia, grew up, born and raised, my whole family still lives in WA, Western Australia, and so had an opportunity to travel for work and kind of see the world during my gap year, which is pretty common for a lot of Australians, and then kind of finished up with school and then moved over to the US to live and work in Minneapolis for a couple of years. Really didn't like being in a city, did not like the humidity, did not like the not being able to get outside. I'm probably an outdoorsy girl. And then actually took some ski trips to Bozeman, Montana, and really loved it and tried to find a job out here. And so ended up moving out here. I worked, you know, for a printing company for a while, which was really fun. And then had an opportunity through my connections, you know, just with being from Australia and parts of New Zealand and whatnot, to actually work for a boutique travel company that's located here in Bozeman. They've been around, it's called Off the Beaten Path. They've been around for about, since the 80s. And the kind of matriarch of that company, her name's Pam Bryant, she actually ended up, was retiring, and we're looking for a travel designer for the American West, as well as Australia and New Zealand. And so she took me under her wing and taught me everything about the American West. And so really kind of fell in love with how similar the West is to where I'm from in rural Australia, which is lots of small towns, small communities, agriculture, getting outside and really not having a lot of indoor activities. So making fun out in the open spaces. And so that's kind of how I got my toe into travel itself, was through that company.
Do you do a bit of hunting and fishing yourself?
Yeah, we're located in Bozeman, which is very close to so many incredible fisheries and hunting, which a lot of people who are into those things know that. It's something that I didn't grow up with, right? We grew up on a farm. We don't really have hunting in Australia. And so didn't really know much about it until I had moved to Montana. My husband is a massive hunter and really enjoys getting outside and seeing different places. And so he really introduced me to the outdoors itself and the joy of hunting. And I've thoroughly enjoyed both hunting and fishing as a way to get to see different places, definitely get to explore the state that we live in. We have an opportunity to fish the Henry Sauk, which is down in Idaho, pretty close to where we are in Bozeman. It's just a couple of hours away. And that's kind of how I started fishing, was down on the Henry Sauk, really challenging fishery, but a great community of people. And so I just fell in love with the people. I fell in love with the place and had the opportunity, because it is so close to Bozeman, to get down there and try out fishing. And so it's taken me a while to not cry every time I go fishing on that river, because it is so challenging. I think 2 years ago was probably the first time I didn't shed a tear. But it's such an incredible fishery. But in addition to that, the community there is incredible, which I don't know if you've seen that little documentary about Brian Gregson, but he talks about that too when he's doing that video for Sage.
Yeah, the community of anglers there who have been there for decades and decades helped him really advance his photography career.
Yeah, and they're just such genuine, authentic people that you want to hang out with them more and get to know the area more. And so one of the ways to do that is by fishing. So it's a really special place for quite a lot of people.
That's quite the place to get started in fly fishing too.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, because I'll ask my husband, should we go, you know, fish here, fish there? He's like, nah, let's just stay here. It's too great. He loves it.
So COVID was mentioned a couple of times. And I think you and I discussed doing a podcast numerous times throughout COVID, but it always seemed like there were so many variables that were going to change. And maybe from the time an episode was recorded to a week later when it went live or whatever, everything would change. And maybe that's still happening to some degree, but it seems like things are balancing out a little bit, and there's a good bit of news. It seems like there's some stability. How would you care that? But that's my take. How would you characterize how things are going now in mid-October 2021?
It just depends on the place you're going to and where you're traveling to, as it relates to requirements, how tricky it can be to get there, what, you know, airlines are available, that type of thing. And so I do think now more than ever is the best time to be working with, you know, a booking company or booking through your local, you know, fly fishing shop, that type of thing, because it does take keeping up on things in order to make it a lot smoother. And so these people are in the know asking these questions and talking about it every day. And so they're going to be the people as well that also know, you know what, you can't get that flight right now into San Martin in Argentina, but you can get into Bariloche, and they're probably going to change that soon. So buy a ticket that is refundable so we can make that adjustment when that happens. I mean, booking companies, the lodges and the guides are going to know that information. So I do think now more than ever is a great time to utilize those services along with a travel agency. If you've got a trip, you know, and you're traveling out to Boston to Denver, you probably don't need to work with a specialist. The worst thing that could happen is you maybe lose a couple of $100 worth of tickets, or you have a credit on file to use with an airline. But for a trip that you're planning to, say, the Seychelles, you likely won't be flying with Qatar Airlines or Emirates Airlines anytime soon to get to another destination. And so you don't necessarily want to have a credit on file with that company if you can't utilize it soon. And so working with professionals that know the area, know how things are moving and how fast they're moving. You know, I think about Patagonia River Guides. They're an excellent example of knowing their American traveler, but in addition to that, knowing the area and the culture itself of Argentina. They're very entwined with you know, policies and procedures that are happening there. And so they can really speak to what you might be seeing in the media or on the, you know, the website for CDC or the State Department or the Treasury Department. And they can actually, you know, speak into that and give examples or give their own real-time assessment of what's going on. There's a couple of fantastic outfitters that send their clients to Cuba. And I would say the same thing with that destination. We're seeing the same thing, you know, with Christmas Island, even New Zealand, Cook Islands, those types of places where people really want to get them on their bucket list. They really want to be able to plan for these things. They're destinations that will be filling up quickly when they begin to open because there's a lot of hype about them and their fantastic fisheries. And so just getting people... I think I'm working with the right people is the way to go in this kind of right now. Yeah.
What are some of the, you know, big developments that have happened recently when it comes to destinations that might be of interest to fly anglers and hunters?
As far as COVID's related?
Yeah. Yeah.
So as far as COVID is concerned, you know, we've just seen Chile open, as well as Argentina's anticipating an opening here November 1st, which is very exciting. These are areas that have been closed to US travelers for quite some time. You know, and these are places where it's really easy for an American traveler to go there because it's relatively close to the US to a certain extent. They can transition through the airports easily and get to the lodges and have a really incredible experience. So those are two places that, you know, it's very exciting that they're opening up soon and that even the people that live there get to have travelers again, which is very cool. I am hearing that it is going to be important to be vaccinated for different countries. A lot of the countries coming out are saying that, you know, we're happy to accept travelers. You will need to show proof of vaccination. And then, of course, having your PCR testing, which has not been unusual for, you know, the countries that have been open to date. I just recently went to Iceland and it was required that I had, you know, a negative test in order to enter. But, you know, places as close as Belize and the Bahamas have been making those requirements now for quite some time.
And how is it for most U.S. Citizens coming back into the U.S.?
Yeah, so you will need to take and have a negative PCR test in order to get on the plane. So they'll check that at the time you check in for your flight at the airport. One of the requirements now is that you'll have to stop at the front desk, you know, at an agent's desk and actually show the proof of the negative test, Some airlines will require it to be printed. Some will make sure it's digital. They'll definitely specify if that's the case in the language that they send to you. But for the US, it can be an electronic copy. It doesn't necessarily have to be printed. And so you just need to make sure that you have that negative test in order to get back into the country. Now, when you get back into the US, I recently just came back from Iceland, as I said, and it was very seamless. They just double checked the test, which was easy enough to do. And then they just did the usual customs and immigrations check-in.
What about hiccups on the front end with testing?
Yeah, so some countries require that negative PCR test to get into the country. And you need to show that at the time, as I mentioned before, to check in for your flight. Depending on where you live, it can be really easy to get that test. We live in Bozeman, Montana, which is a pretty relatively small town. And so, to get that test, you have to go to the right place and you kind of have to cross your fingers and hope that they get it back to you in time. And so one of the things that travelers should do and can do is just call ahead before, when you first start to make your plans, call the place where you would have testing done and ask them the questions. How long does it usually take to get this test back? How do I know when this test is returned to me? Does it come via email? Do I get a phone call? Do I get a text? In addition to that, as I'm anticipating and planning for travel, when should I come in? What are your opening hours? I mean, these are relatively simple questions, but they can get really stressful and kind of compounded the closer you get to your departure date. So just asking ahead of time, I think, is really important. I can't stress enough the importance of trip insurance. Travel insurance, for the most part, will cover for a trip cancellation due to sickness. And one of the, the reasons of a sickness would be to have a positive COVID test. So travel insurance right now for that particular reason is well worth its weight. And so, premiums can cost as little as half a day of fishing. And so I don't think it's at all a bad idea to investigate that.
Have you been having to handle a number of schedule changes?
Yeah, we just saw recently, that Southwest Airlines dropped a bunch of flights or canceled a ton of flights. Before that, it was JetBlue and on and on. And so what airlines are currently doing is they're looking to plan routing for the future. But back in the olden days before COVID, they planned scheduling out, quite a ways in advance. And now what they're doing is they're not planning it out as far. So they'll set a schedule and then they'll make changes to it to get the same amount of passengers on less flights. And so it's very normal nowadays for clients to book a flight and then for that flight to have multiple schedule changes. So if you're booking your own flights, make sure you keep an eye on that. Check in with your flights weekly, perhaps, or monthly, depending on how far out you booked them. Because it's quite possible that you could get online to check your flight and, they've canceled the routing for that day. That's not unusual. So it doesn't have to be something to worry about. But just as long as you're proactive with managing those things, when you work with a travel agency, I know we do this at Kana, we manage schedule changes. And so if something comes up and it's a major change or it's something that would adversely affect the traveler, we will go ahead and contact them and let them know what their options are. We're pretty familiar with a lot of the fishing programs themselves, so we understand when people have to be there or can leave, along with hunting programs, and the different destinations, so where they need to go and what the best time is to arrive or depart. So what's great about working, I would say, with an agent or, again, a booking company that's familiar with these programs, they can help you when these changes come along.
How long in advance should people be booking their flights right now?
It's a tricky question because each destination is so different at the moment. We've got clients right now that are booking travel to Christmas Island to go fishing. And right now you can't even buy a flight to go to Christmas Island through Fiji Airways. So, for those types of travelers, it's okay, wait and see what's going to happen. When are they going to add the schedules back in? there are certain regional carriers throughout South America that won't be adding a lot of their scheduling back until more of the travelers return. And so for those types of people, we recommend have a look at what the cost is to buy a flight that can be changed or has the ability to be refundable if you need to make changes. Back in the day before COVID, it certainly made sense to book a ticket well in advance in order to save money. It doesn't necessarily seem to be the rule of thumb now. You don't have to book a flight or make travel arrangements well in advance in order to save that money, just because airline schedules may or may not be available for that particular destination. It doesn't mean that by the time you travel, they won't be there. It just means that they may not have returned from kind of the challenges that COVID really did pose for a lot of these places. So again, working with a booking company, a guide, a lodge, is going to be your best bet to bring a lot of context to how that works, because that can bring a lot of anxiety for travelers that want to have everything kind of tied up in a neat bow. You can still travel. Those people can still make travel plans. It's just that it's going to be a little bit different at the moment.
Well, excellent. This has been very informative, and I appreciate the time. Where can folks go to learn more about Kana Travel?
Yeah, so you can reach us via email is the best way, agent@kanatravel.com. You can go to our website, kanatravel.com. It's kanatravel.com. You can also call us locally here in Bozeman at 406-552-4466. We'd be excited to work with you and to really have the opportunity to help you get to these great places that are opening up again. It's such an exciting time to be a traveler and to be planning for travel. And even if you're not feeling like right now is the best time, I would really encourage people to start to look towards 2022, 2023 travel for these fishing and these hunting destinations. A lot of these spots are filling up because of the closures over the last couple of years. And so now's a really good time to inquire about them and just get an idea of, you know, when you could get to those places.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Kimberly. And we'll do this again. We're looking forward to having you on again when we have more news and updates in the world of travel. And thanks again for coming on.
Thanks, Tim. It's been great.